So I'll start with a story of a farmer. It was an old farmer who didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe in the incarnation. And he, during the middle of a storm, a big snowstorm, he looked outside his window and he saw this flock of birds. Some doves were lost in the snow. And so they were trying to huddle up in the tree, but the wind was so boisterous that they couldn't stay still. And so they're fluttering around trying to live through this storm. And he gets concerned about him. He's thinking, well, I wish I could save those birds. So he runs outside with some breadcrumbs and lines them up to his barn to try to see if they'll follow the breadcrumbs and the seed to the barn and get some safety. So he opened up the barn doors and put it down, but they didn't do anything. They just kind of looked at him, and so they didn't know that that was their road. Then he went out there and tried to shine light on the barn and turn on the barn lights and tried to point the way. But every time he had run out there and just start trying to shoo them into the barn, they'd fly off and fly around, and they were scared, so they couldn't get into the barn for safety. And so he's a little frustrated, and he's tried everything he can. And the farmer's sitting there thinking, you know, if I could just become a bird, I could lead them to safety. And the Lord spoke to him and said, that's what I did. I became a human so that I could lead you to safety. God became a person so he could lead us in life. He became a human to save us and put us in a safe place. Hallelujah. So the farmer got a bright idea, and he went into his barn and he got one of his own personal doves, and he let that dove loose beyond the flock, and that dove flew back into the barn and all the doves flew in after him, and he saved the flock. Well, simple story. God saved us very similar, the same way. He sent a human. We wonder how come God just didn't come down and save him. Well, he tried all throughout the Old Testament, and everything he said, they couldn't even get close to him. He was so scary. Kind of like a farmer would be to the flock of doves. And so we find ourselves sometimes not understanding God. But God sent Jesus so we could understand him. Because of Jesus Christ, if we follow Jesus Christ, we're safe. Father, in Jesus' name, help us understand some things today. Help us understand your word. We love you. We exalt you. We look to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Save every soul here that's not saved. Help us all rededicate. Help us all slide back up if backslidden. In Jesus' name, we want to honor you with our life. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about the gift or gifts or any gift. We've spent a lot of time looking for the perfect gifts for people the past couple weeks. Today, some of you are going to do your last-minute crunching to get the perfect gift for people. So let's talk about a gift a little bit, because I've noticed some things that sometimes we don't value the gifts. I had a friend, one of my friends said that he and his family has three kids. He said years ago, he said, got a little frustrated. He said, I knew something was wrong. He said, during Christmas, we were all sitting there opening presents. And the kids were opening their presents, and so a gift was passed to them. They opened up the present and looked at it and passed it on and got the next one. Opened it, passed it on, got the next one. He said they weren't even acknowledging the previous gift. They were just lusting after the next gift. Life has become like that for so many people. Not only kids, but also adults, where we just don't even value the blessing and the glory of what's in front of us. Is my jacket distracting y'all? Should I take this off? I think I should take it off. It's too distracting up here. You know, it was supposed to be casual. It was supposed to be casual Christmas Day, fun Christmas Day. But I knew Brother Frank was going to dress up. And so I said, man, I got to get my suit. I got to get my Christmas present looking suit. So anyway, back to the message here. So I want us to value the gift that God has given to us. And he's given several gifts. I want to talk about at least a couple of them today. because God spent a lot of time and effort to give us something very precious. And I think sometimes we get saved and then we forget the glory of the gift. That first moment when you got saved and the first year when you got saved could be different than it is 10 years later. Only because we stopped valuing the gift. We stopped understanding. We stopped realizing what a glorious gift this is. Some people, I would say this, some people, like the little flock of doves, didn't really see the dove fly by. So they just followed the group. I think some people follow their religion, follow their parents. They'd never met the head dove. They never really met Jesus. They just followed their parents because their parents followed Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They heard about Jesus, but they never really necessarily met Jesus face to face. So I want to challenge every one of you. If you were raised in a place that believed in Christ, if you were raised up in a family and you got saved at an early age, I want to encourage you or challenge you to spend some time to meet Jesus face to face. Children, teenagers, every one of you need to know Jesus face to face. You can't rely on mom and daddy's faith. You can't take it for granted. Listen, being in the barn safe is wonderful. Feeling like, okay, everything's okay, I'm going to heaven, God's in my life, that's not enough. We need to meet Jesus. Amen. Get saved and then walk with Jesus. Amen. Meet Jesus. Value Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Romans, if you would. Think about getting gifts on Christmas morning, or think about your children getting gifts. They come downstairs or they come from room to room and they head to the tree. And let's say that there was a bicycle there that was not assembled. Or some other contraption that wasn't assembled. The child looks at it and thinks, what is all that? Sometimes that's how people are with Christianity. They know it's supposed to be good, but they don't understand it enough to receive from it. They don't understand God enough to receive from Him. Like a disassembled bike, what good is it going to do you? You have to spend some time assembling it. You have to spend some time with God, understanding God. You have to learn some Bible. You have to let somebody teach you some things so that you understand how to walk with Jesus in this life. And so let's do that just a bit here to examine the gift of salvation. All right? First of all, Jesus can be seen as a gift, even though He's not called the gift in the Bible. Jesus is not the gift. Even though God gave Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus could be viewed as a gift. He was given, and He was given freely, so He is a gift. Now, technically, the Holy Spirit is the promised gift. We'll get to Him in just a moment. Jesus can be looked at as a gift, but salvation is certainly called a gift. Righteousness is called a gift. And so as we begin to look at some of these scriptures, think of what a gift is. A gift is supposed to be given freely, isn't it? A gift is prepared by the giver because they care deeply and they want to bless somebody. So that gift is given without a hook. I don't think anybody here would ever give a gift with a hook in it. Like, if I give this gift, then they're going to owe me something. People do weird stuff. No, nobody here does weird stuff, but people out there do weird stuff when it comes to human relationships where you know, it's like a Trojan horse gift. Like, if I give you this gift, then you're going to owe me some things down the road. But we don't do that. True gifts are given without any kind of expectation. I did it because I love you. I want you to be happy. Has nothing to do with what you do to me. Well, they're going to give me gifts, so I've got to give them a gift. You got to be careful of some of that. I know human etiquette and American etiquette says, yes, if they're going to give, then I want to give. But listen, when you get saved, you don't owe anybody anything. Amen. Except to love one another. Amen. So if it's in your heart, you do it. If it's not in your heart, you don't have to do it. And if somebody gave you a gift and you didn't give them one, glory to God, thank you. I love you. Thanks for my gift. That's all you got to do as a Christian. All you got to do is be happy. You don't have to think, oh, now I got to go get them something. Please don't. Please don't. With that attitude, please don't. Hey, so what if they thought of you first? So what if they thought of you this year, you didn't think of them? So what? So what? Be happy. Be an honest Christian. We don't have to fall into the trap of just weirdness. No hooks. If you want to give gifts, it's just proof of your love. Hey, next year, maybe you don't get them a gift. Well, I got to give them a gift every year because I know they're going to get me one. It's weird stuff that we do, isn't it? But as Christians, I got freed from that way of thinking. I got so freed from that way of thinking that I don't have to wait till Christmas to give gifts. How about you? And I know not everybody feels it like me about certain things. And so you let me get up here and harp on some stuff that I kind of like and do and feel and some changes that I made. You don't have to be exactly like that. But I do like to try to impart to you some freedom. In Christ, there's freedom. There's freedom from some of this etiquette stuff that, you know, it doesn't make us all happy anyway. And that's why people are so relieved when Christmas season's over. So we did so much stuff that tradition said we had to do and culture said we had to do that we're not even happy with it. I say stay happy. Have fun. Do what you got to do. Do it from your heart. So let's think about a gift because we can't make people value the gift. You give a gift to your children and you can't make them value it. You hope they do. You want to train them throughout the year so that they value things that are given to them. But you can't make people value anything, can you? Well, listen, God can't make you value your salvation. He can't make you value righteousness. He's given it to you freely. It's up to you and I to value it. He doesn't even command you to value it. Think of it. There's no command. You value my gift. No, that's human carnality. I gave it to you. Do what you want. I gave you a car. You don't want to ride in it? No problem. For some reason, I think we're so stuck in the carnal view of things that we hardly understand the salvation aspect. That salvation is a gift. That you being right with God is a gift. It's called the gift of righteousness. Let's read it right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, that's Adam, he offended, so death reigned because of Adam. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. You see that term? The gift of righteousness. Those who receive the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So listen up. If you understand the gift of righteousness, you'll be king for a day. Oh, excuse me. King for earth life. If you understand the gift of righteousness, you will be king and queen. If you understand the gift of righteousness, it will set you up higher than your problems. If you understand the gift of righteousness, it'll put you so close to God in your own soul, it'll be a wonderful season. Whether you're married or not, whether everything's going your way or not, it'll be a great season, it'll be a great 4 seasons, it'll be a great year, it'll be a great 10 years, it'll be a great life.
Amen.
If you understand the gift of righteousness and grace, you will reign in life like a king. You will rule in life. Problems come, you rule. Life happens, you rule.
Amen.
It says, I didn't make this up. It says you will reign in life by the gift of righteousness. But you got to understand that righteousness. So often people don't understand the gift of righteousness. They think that God saved you as long as you be good. Like if He saved you, but if you're not good, that's not a gift. You can have a gift here as long as you love me. Doesn't work that way, does it? But for some reason in our carnal mind, we still feel the merit system. And in the past month, I've already had to deal with three different people, not necessarily in person, who still think salvation and obedience, Christ and obedience are necessary for salvation. And we spend so much time trying to help people understand that's not the way it works. It is a gift of righteousness. It is a gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The gift of God. It's a gift. And there's no hook. It's a gift. Yeah, but if you say that, then they're not going to obey. No, listen. It's a gift that then you should value. And if you value your salvation, you will obey. We're not throwing out obedience. We're throwing out the means of the gift. All I have to do for the gift is receive the gift. There's Jesus. Receive Him and salvation. It's free by faith. I got it now. It's my gift. Now, I can enjoy my gift. I can understand my gift. I can value my gift. I can partake of my gift or not, but it's still my gift. Think of how many people get saved and don't really experience much of their salvation because they don't put any time into the Bible. They don't put any time walking with Jesus. They don't hang out with Christians. They don't go to church. They don't learn anything. They're still saved. Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
We want people to obey. It's amazing how there's still some people, not you, of course. There's still some people. They want to force others to obey. They want to command obedience. They want to penalize for disobedience. And they want hell to be the consequence for people's disobedience. Not their own, of course. Only other people's. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees who loved that way of thinking. There's Pharisees today that love that way of thinking.
Amen.
And it always has to do with their own condemnation. Because thou that judges doest the same things. It's a strange gospel. It's a judgmental, condemning gospel, and it doesn't lead to freedom nor success. We're not taking obedience from people. Not at all. We who are free should obey even more. We who are free should recognize the value of our righteousness. What that means is I see the value of this. God loved me so much, He just simply gave it to me. Wow! That's worth something.
Yeah. Amen.
And I just pray that we value the gift of righteousness in the earth, because when you get to eternity, or when you get to the next branch of eternity, you're going to recognize the value of Jesus Christ. The question is, can we value Him today? Can we live a life unto Him today? Can we value Him saving our soul so much it changes everything we do?
Amen.
That we're not worldly. That we don't act like the world or look like the world. Except for my little present, Christmas present looking suit.
You noticed.
Not in clothing. I mean, God's not more pleased with holy looking clothing. You know, should we have all worn robes and sandals? Is that holier? Or purple collars and stuff? No, God doesn't need that. That's not... We wear the clothing of the world, but we don't look like the world in action, in deed, in thought, in perspective.
Amen.
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 Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Gifts are inherently free. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Nothing of yourselves. Your salvation is not of yourselves. Your salvation did not come because of what you did. Amen. Or what you do or what you don't do. It is a gift of God. It can only be that. Amen. It is not receive Christ and obey. It's receive Christ, period. Amen. The law of Moses was the law of commands that were set to try to keep people straight. And if you were pretty straight, you were called righteous. As long as you killed some animals every year, sprinkled some blood every year, you were called righteous so that God could bless from a distance. When Christ came, He was not an addition to the law. So it's no longer obey and receive Christ for the rest of your life and then you can make it. Oh no. Romans chapter 3. Matter of fact, we can read it. Romans chapter 3. Why is he getting all technical on Christmas Eve morning? Because you need it. Because some of you weren't here for all the many hours we did this year on this topic already. Romans chapter 3. Now remember, Romans chapter 3, the first three chapters up to verse 21 is a description under the law. It's the old way. But then verse 21 is going to change it to the new way. It's like the light turns on at verse 21. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. How many of you are guilty before God without Christ? Raise your hand if you're guilty before God without Christ. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. Therefore by, what does that mean? That means by obeying the rules, being moral, no flesh is justified in His sight. Amen. That means you could be the most moral person in here. Probably like Patty. Or Marie Solange. The most moral person in here. You're still not justified in His sight.
That's right. Amen.
The best of the best of the best. You could even take a monk in a cave who hadn't seen a human in 35 years. He hadn't had a chance to sin against humanity. 35 years. Not justified in the sight of God.
Amen.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does that mean? That means unless I give you a do and a don't, you wouldn't know what sin is. So that's all the law did, is it showed them what a sin was. Verse 21, but now, What do you mean now? Now, after Christ. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Righteousness is now separated from obedience.
Thank you, Lord.
You getting it?
Yes.
Listen, we want to obey. We should obey. We need to spend lots of time learning the instructions so that we can obey the Lord through the Spirit.
Amen.
But righteousness, that means being able to jump in Father God's lap at any time.
You smell good.
That's what righteousness is. It's hopping in Dad's lap anytime.
Yeah.
is not dependent on my obedience. You got to get this. This is the beauty of the gift.
Amen.
Righteousness. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
To all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You getting it?
Yes.
The more you understand this gift of righteousness, the better you can live. The more you understand this gift of righteousness, the better you can handle your guilt. You got to understand this gift so that you don't have to live walking around with condemnation on top of your head. We've all blown it. The blood of Jesus fixes it.
Amen.
We've all blown it. The blood of Jesus cleans my mind. Because of Jesus Christ and this gift of righteousness, I can walk around free.
Amen.
Even though yesterday, immorality might have showed up. I'm not planning on immorality. Neither should... Real Christians don't plan on immorality.
Right?
But if you slipped up, if something went wrong, if you disobeyed, if you neglected a command or two or 50, God doesn't want you to walk around feeling condemned. He wants you to get it straight. Think about kids at school. You know, they're acting up sometimes and they get in a little trouble here, and it's like, come on, kid. Come on. Act right. What's wrong? Come on, I need you to do better. Come on. That kid's working it out, you see? Mm-hmm. You're not going to throw him away.
No.
You're not going to make them lose their status of sonship because they hadn't worked out all their kinks yet. They got some character flaws. They're working it out. Same thing with God. He's not going to throw you out. You need to know that so that you can continue working it out. When a kid has been... When parents use wrong words against kids who are messing up, the kid loses hope. That's a no-no. You can't do that with your kid. You can't show extreme disappointment all the time with your kid. It'll ruin their self-esteem. People, listen, this is, if you don't understand the gift of righteousness, over time you will begin to feel like God is doing that with you. That He's so disappointed with you all the time. And that'll start ruining your spiritual esteem. This is why it's so important to understand the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. Please take this.
Thank you.
It's yours. I'm not taking it back from you. I gave it to you. You're not using it? Well, I'm going to come get that back from you. God doesn't do that. If you understand the gift of righteousness, it'll help you work through life. Feeling saved.
Amen.
It's important. Because to make it through this life as a Christian, you're going to have to continue to know that you're saved.
Amen.
Or you'll lose hope.
Amen.
You'll lose heart and you'll faint. Almost like, well, if God's going to throw me out, I haven't been able to work through these issues. If He's going to throw me out, I deserve it. You can't do that. You got to understand how valuable this is to Him. He gave His only Son. He sent His only Son. He sent His only Son. The best gift He had, He sent His only Son for you, for us. Changes everything. Solves everything. God solved the whole human crisis. He solved the whole thing by giving a gift. Hallelujah. There's been a Christian debate for decades, centuries, the debate on how salvation is obtained and kept. You need to know that salvation is obtained and kept the same way.
Amen.
By receiving the gift.
Amen.
By believing in Jesus and accepting Jesus as your Savior. Simple as that. You get saved by receiving the gift and believing, and you stay saved by keeping the gift and keeping believing. There was somebody one time that gave me a gift back that I had given them. I thought, oh. Then they wanted the gift that I gave. I mean, they wanted the gift back that they had given me. My thought was, oh, no, it's okay. It was a gift. You can keep it. But they gave it back. Don't give the gift back. That's the only thing that could disrupt your righteousness and your salvation, is if you gave the gift back to God on purpose. I don't want this anymore. I don't believe it. I don't want it. That's the only thing that can injure your salvation. As long as you keep the gift, no matter how crazy your life may look or feel, He allows you to keep the gift of salvation. Listen, some people will leave a church over that message. Some people will leave a church if you say that salvation is strictly by faith. Other people will leave a church if you say the other side. Bottom line, don't leave the church. Get it straight. Listen, nobody's going to go to hell here under our watch. Amen. Excuse me. Because of our preaching. It is important to me to make sure I will answer to the Lord Jesus about our preaching here. I will answer. But I assure you, to the best of my ability, we're not going to let people go to hell by wrong preaching. We're getting it as straight as we can, trying to explain it as best as we can so that people know the truth. Truthfully, if you receive Jesus Christ, you won't go to hell anyway, regardless of what a church is preaching. You understand? But we want your life and your afterlife to be as good as it can be. We want the reward to be as wonderful as it can be in heaven. We want you to experience as much of God as you can in the earth. And we're doing all we can to help that. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 5, if you would, please. And we'll end with this. Of course, I didn't mention much today about the Holy Spirit. He's the real promise and the real gift that God worked so hard to get us. Without the Holy Spirit, it's hard to make sense of anything. Because only the Holy Spirit can know spirit. Only the Spirit knows the mind of God. So the closer you are to the Holy Spirit, the more of God you will experience. Mark chapter 5 here. This is just a little Christmas throw-in. So this is when the demon-possessed fella came and ran down and worshiped at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus cast the devil out of him. And you know, the devils went into the pigs. Remember that? The demon-possessed got free. Verse 18, Mark 5, verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." Hallelujah. That's your commission for today or for this week. Go home and tell your people what great things God has done for you. Amen. How He's had compassion on you. How He saved your soul. How He set you free. How He changed your life. Go tell them all the good stuff God's done. Right. Matter of fact, if you're sitting at the dinner table with people that may or may not be on the same track as you, take your 60 seconds and give them a 60-second update. Amen. Hey, can I have everybody's attention? I just want to let y'all know something. You probably already know, but I want to tell you that God is a good God and He saved me. He loves us. He wants the best for you. And you can just do whatever you want. Let the Holy Spirit lead you at the dinner table to give your 60-second update of the kingdom of God. Challenge your people. I mean, look them in the face and challenge them. And then when you're done, say, amen, let's go back to Eden. Go tell your people what great things. Go tell them how great God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, I think the gift of righteousness is the one thing you can re-gift with good conscience. Just re-gift it and re-gift it and re-gift it and re-gift it and re-gift it to everybody you know.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.